Space Vorilex, Finding Kimigo. Listen to audio extracts from this exciting companion to 2B Acting Selective Interactive Video Production, now showing on InView. If you enjoy adventures, conspiracy theories, and a gripping story, then this podcast is for you. Updated every 2 weeks. This extract from the Space Vorilex, Finding Kimigo book is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, incidents and dialogues are products of the artist's imagination and should not be considered in any way as facts. Any resemblance to life or people, living or dead, events or theories is entirely coincidental. Visit 2bacting.com for information about the Space Vorilex Selective Interactive Video and how to obtain a copy of the book. Extract summary: the main character, Misha, is poised to take a drastic step that will end her life as she knows it. However, before she does, she documents the events that has led to her decision. Her story starts where she is called to the hospital after her girlfriend, Kimigo, unexpectedly falls into a coma. After a day of surreal happenings, a stranger, looking identical to her girlfriend, enters her life. However, Misha's distrust of the stranger results in them being chased by unknown assailants, and now are on the run, having survived a dangerous encounter with lethal devices in human form. In this podcast, avoiding detection by devices in human form, Misha, Christina, and the stranger follow cryptic directions in an attempt to find the professor. Chapter 4, Part 1, The Professor.
A constant rumbling, screeching sound, coupled with the gentle rocking of the underground carriage, are our companions on the way to our unknown destination. The stranger says, directions are coming from the device she placed in her ear, taken from the metal box she found in the professor's trashed hotel room. Asleep, with her head resting on my arm, is Christina. The stranger sits opposite, periodically turning her head to the right to scan the almost empty carriage. Only two other passengers. Since getting on two stops ago, the one in the middle has been using her mobile as a mirror, adjusting her facial expressions as she takes selfies. The other passenger is at the far end of the carriage wearing earpods hooked into his mobile, to which his eyes have remained glued. They don't seem at all threatening, but I have learnt that nothing is as it seems today. Not when anyone can suddenly be turned into a killer. I therefore understand our guardian's vigilance. So, are you permanently connected to the internet? Earlier before boarding, this the third underground train, we had managed to get her to tell us how she knew the location of the police cars that chased us. Apparently, there is a device, where the professor is hidden, that sends communications from televisions, radios, satellites, cell phones and the internet directly to an artificial intelligence processor within her central cortex. Basically, anything with an electrical signal goes directly to her brain. The AI filters out unwanted data, based on her thoughts, giving her the information she needs at any time. It's also clever enough to crack passwords, breaking into any connected system on the planet. It was how she was able to retune her car vanishing device to deactivate the third assailant that attacked us outside the hotel. The deactivation sequence is protected by a security code, which her AI was clever enough to decipher in time. The problem, and the reason why we had to run, was the AI of the other two aggressors would have detected the flaw and compensated, locking out commands from her device. It could not be used again. A brain enhanced by AI with a permanent internet connection. Amazing. Yes, why do you ask? Can you see if there is anything on the hospital system about Kimigo? Has there been any change in her condition? Her condition will not change. Why? What makes you say that? Do you know what happened? The reason for the coma? Can you help her? My rising bombardment of questions causes Christina to wake. What? What's going on? She knows about Kimigo. All will be explained when we are safe. Stop saying that. What does safety have to do with you answering simple questions? You won't even tell us your name. The answers are not simple. With that said, despite our tantrums, her mouth stays shut. I hate her and yet I can't. Her face is Kimigo's. Even the way she looks now, knowing she has done something to upset me. That slight tilt of her lips. The narrowed eyes. Her furrowed brow. Everything is Kimigo. Abruptly she changes the subject. We are here. Her standing up is confusing. The train has not reached a stop and yet she walks towards the exit door. As we get up to follow, the train slows, then jerks to a stop, alarming the selfie-taking passenger, who looks around wondering what has happened. The mobile watching passenger's posture does not change, remaining completely unaware of the stop. The carriage door slides open. There is a tiny paved platform, which the stranger hops onto. We do the same, as the doors behind us slide shut. Moving into a lit alcove, we watch as our departing transport gather speed, soon disappearing into the dark tunnel. The walk along the dimly lit puddle-filled tunnel is slowed by Christina's constant screeching every time a rodent is seen. I hate those things. Do we have to go on? Forward or back? I think you'll find rats. Why are we doing this? It was your idea to leave with her, remember? I wanted to leave to go to see Barry. Not this. I think I prefer being shot at than being here. Fortunately for my badly bruised arm, repeatedly squeezed by Christina with each rat sighting, the stranger finally stops. Turning to the right wall, she runs her hand over it, then removes a loose brick. Inside the hole left by the brick is a keypad. She stares at it. What's wrong? I don't have the code. His directions end with the words, as usual, X marks the spot. Another clue? Yes, but one I cannot decipher. Why does he do this? AIs do not like human clues as they follow no logic. Linked with offline actions, they are very effective way to hide things. Another scream from Christina directs our attention to a hole in the wall, remarkably cut into an X shape. Do you think? Without answering, the stranger walks across to the small X-shaped hole. Bending down, she puts her hand inside. I saw a rat go in there. Ignoring Christina, the stranger roots around inside the hole, then pulls out an empty drinks can. This is it. Thank you, Christina. At the bottom of the can, she reads words, scratched into its base. Before two in ones. B421, I've got it. No. It's just the numbers. And two in ones is 121. The code is 4121. Seriously, how's anyone supposed to get that? After she taps the numbers on the keypad, we hear a clunk, obviously releasing a bolt. Pushing, we discover the wall with the keypad is actually a door. Opening it fully, we step into a chamber with spiral steps going up. The stranger returns the loose brick that covered the keypad, shuts the door, then leads the way up the steep spiral staircase. There are far more steps than expected. Fatigue sets in after 10 minutes. Have you any more of those magic pills? I don't think my legs can hold out. I feel the same way as Christina. We reach a platform where we hope to be handed the drugs. Instead, she pushes open a heavy metal door leading out into a very large space. The ceiling is tremendously high. A multitude of large lights hang down from it, each struggling to fully illuminate the vast open-plan building, leaving patches of darkness. In places, tasteless graffiti cover the bottom half of the brick-lined walls. Mainly, it is an empty space with sporadic pieces of discarded items. Within eyesight, we can see a dusty old couch, a child's overturned pram, a few broken shop mannequins, a rusty fridge and several cardboard boxes of varying sizes, filled to overflow with clothing, shoes, electronics, toys, and other stuff, forming trash piles. We stop in front of a big picture, turned on its side. It's a picture of what looks like a space station that fills the black frame. With our heads tilted to the right, we are able to read the words written under the space station. Space Voralex. Isn't Voralex the professor's name? Christina and I look up to see that the stranger is no longer with us. Where's she gone? Emerging from the shadows, our protector strides towards us, followed by a tall silver-haired man with a matching goatee beard. Wearing t-shirt and jeans, he looks like a 1960s hippie reject. His hair is pulled back into a short ponytail and his arms are covered in tattoos. Professor Voralex. Please. Call me Jason.
That is the end of the extract for this podcast. In the next podcast, another extract from the Space Voralex, Finding Kimigo book. Having found the professor, Misha discovers she is part of an unbelievable history where her life, and that of her girlfriend, Kimigo, hangs in the balance. Podcast narrated by AI-generated voices, Ryan and Sonia. Note: the extracts may not accurately reflect the words contained in the published book. For more information, visit 2bacting.com or be part of this exciting adventure by playing the Space Vorilek Selective Interactive video, now showing on 2B Acting's InView channel.